This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's January 9th, episode 1079, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We hope you haven't frozen to death overnight up there in the Northeast. It's darn cold, and it just makes me glad that we were one of the smart ones that moved to Florida. That's what I'm just saying. although it's been chilly here, too. It's been in the 30s yesterday. I don't think we got maybe to like 40 degrees. It was pretty chilly and windy here, just like the rest of the country, it seems like. But, boy, the temperatures up north.
Except for one place, which I was riding my horse in a t-shirt yesterday. You got
you're the only one.
It's like 65 is the high. It was awesome.
Yeah, but Utah was like at -7 with -30 wind chills. I mean, it's just crazy weather. Talked to Philip last night. He said their high was Fahrenheit was -17 yesterday. So,
oh dear,
up there in Canada, yeah, pretty
well,
chilly.
Well, let me give you the weather report from Phoenix, Arizona, my friends. Today, it's going to be a high of 70 and a low of 50. So I'm not even blanketing right now. Last week, it was really cold, but this week is really nice. And I know you all hate me, but remember, my winter is in the summer when you can't go outside because it's 117 degrees. So it all balances out, you guys. All balances. Hot's better.
You know what, though, when we were talking about that the other day, and we talked about the fact that we have 3 months of really, really hot, but we have 9 months of really, really nice. And
yeah.
The rest of the country has 3 months of really, really nice, and then the other 9 months are kind of iffy. So, you know, it's,
so
we have
well.
More months. Yes, we have
I
more
wish
months.
I wish my husband wanted to retire here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're looking at a colder place to go.
You're not
looking warm. You're looking colder.
I'm going to enjoy this for a couple more years.
Hey, there's lots of nice farms for sale in Florida. Just saying.
I know. Let's go there.
Yeah. He could fly. We got Orlando, busiest airport in the world right here. Out of Orlando.
I don't think he wants to live in the home of Disney. He's not quite like you guys.
It's a beautiful place. Just a little hot and buggy. Well,
yeah.
Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we are taking off into the realm of Arabian racing with Stephanie and Corliss from the Arabian Finish Line magazine, something new and different for us. And in the finishing half of the show, Really Bad Ads makes its first appearance of 2015. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Before we get on to the rest of the show, I wanted to mention that Richard Mead, one of the most successful eventers of all time, died at the age of 76 yesterday. He has been battling cancer for, he's actually diagnosed in October, so it hasn't been that long. It apparently had spread pretty far before they had found it. You know, Richard Mead was an extraordinary British eventer. He really led the British team for about 20 years. He was part of the gold medal team in the Mexican Olympics in 68. 4 years later, he won individual and team gold at the Munich Olympics. Everybody kind of remembers that one. He competed in four successive Olympic Games and a substitute in one after that. He won badminton. He won Burley. He had a horse called Barbary, who was one of the ones that everybody remembers. He had a couple other horses, the Poacher and Spectacular Three, that were popular. He won two team golds at the World Championships in 1970 and 1982, and in a bunch of European championships. He really was known in Britain and around the world as being one of the top eventers of his time. And, you know, he came up in eventing, Jamie, in that time, that rugged time before safety was a big concern. Mm-hmm. You know, he was riding in the crazy days of eventing and, you know, just was very well known. We did a equestrian legends show with him, about an hour conversation with him a couple of years ago. It can be found on equestrianlegends.com, and it's episode number 17. So if you want to learn more about Richard, we have his voice, and you can take a listen. But boy, diagnosed in October and died already. That's pretty quick.
Well, he was definitely an epic eventer. He was one of the very elite that the world has ever seen. So he will definitely be missed.
All right, our best to him, or to his family and his friends and the whole eventing community.
And now, you know what?
Yeah.
Sorry. Also,
yeah.
Our best, before we get to the Daily Winnies, our best to all of our friends in France that are going through all sorts of craziness. So, I mean, even just this morning, they have more drama going on over there, and it's just, it's horrifying, and we're definitely thinking and praying for you guys. Whew.
And from that, we go to a bunch of birthdays. Some happy times, so.
Happy
birthday, first, to our listener, Rachel Rosenthal. So happy birthday, Rachel. Also, Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Wendy. And Mike Arnold, who without Mike Arnold, I would have never met Wendy. He does drivingnews.us, and through a roundabout way, that's how we met Wendy. So happy birthday, Mike. And then you had one too, right?
I did. My husband's birthday was yesterday, so basically my feet still hurt from staying in the kitchen, cooking him cakes. I did one of those, like, total embarrassing wife things where I made some cookie cakes here, and I put some icing decorating, and I bought him a bunch of balloons from the movie Frozen, and I took him to his office yesterday. And they were having all these meetings.
What he wanted.
Oh, yeah, with all these guys, and I'm like, hello, it's somebody's birthday. And, like, I love to embarrass him. And I'm, like, bringing all these balloons with Princess Anna and Queen Elsa on them. I'm like, let it go. Payback. They're going to get me.
Hey, before I forget, we'll do your Daily Winnie, and then I'll try to remember to ask you. All right, your Daily Winnie.
Well, all of the horses that are going to be nominated, hold on, I'm trying to find it right now. Of course, it won't pop up. But nominated.
I put it in the show notes at the bottom.
Oh, good. Well, the Eclipse Awards, have been nominated. And it's so much. I just don't see anybody else besides California Chrome winning Horse of the Year, just for the fans only, because the revolt that will happen if California Chrome does not win Horse of the Year. Horses of the Year, Bayern, California Chrome, Main Sequence, they're nominated. 2-year-old males, American Pharaoh, Texas Red, who I think is going to win, and Hootenanny. You know I love that.
Oh, that guy, Hootenanny's got to win just for the name.
I mean, I love that name. Let's see, 2-year-old fillies, Condo Commando, Lady Eli.
Hey, wait a minute. Is Hootenanny going to the Kentucky Derby? 2-year-old, he might be going to Kentucky. If Hootenanny's going to Kentucky Derby, I have my pick.
Yeah. I can't argue with that one. I picked him to win the 2-year-old male Breeders' Cup, but he was beat out by Texas Red. So I think he's a good pick. I love it. I love the name. 3-year-old male, Bayern, California Chrome, and Shared Belief, because Main Sequence is an older horse. 3-year-old filly, Stop Charging Maria. Love that name. Sweet Reason and Untappable. you know, stopped charging Maria. The name was because the husband's wife kept using her credit card, so they named her Star.
Is that
Star
right? Card. Is that why it was? Really?
Absolutely, yeah. And now a couple other husbands have named their horses Stop Charging Alana, you know, like whatever. They keep naming other horses like that.
Stop Charging Jennifer.
Stop Charging Jennifer. Older Male, Main Sequence, Palace Malice, and Wise Dan. Wise Dan for Older Male. He's also nominated for the Turf Horse, Turf Male, which is Caraconti, Main Sequence, and Wise Dan. So it's going to be good. I'm excited. I just, oh my gosh, I hope so much that Horse of the Year goes to California Chrome. Just so much. I mean, and there's a week later, there's going to be a rematch of all three of these. It's just going to be a good month. But
Main Sequence has been there three times, and it's a horse I've not read much about. I read a little bit about him this morning. Apparently didn't lose anything this year, so that's why, was undefeated, and that's why you see Main Sequence in there three different categories this year.
Yeah, I know. That horse is a monster. He's fantastic. And Byron, you know, coming in and winning the Breeders' Cup Classic didn't hurt. So it's going to be good. We'll break it down a little later, but congratulations to all of them. And, of course, the drama was in the categories of owners and trainers and jockeys, not one California Chrome connection was named.
Of
so
the usual suspects, I assume. Let me guess. It's Ramsey's, Baffert, Pletcher. Am I right? Is that the usual suspects?
Yes. You're naming all of them. Yeah. Exciting, though, is Chad Brown is a new Eclipse Award nominee, and so I totally pull for him. He trains horses for some friends of mine, and I got to be in the winner's circle photo with Chad Brown, if you recall. So I pull for Chad Brown. And then owners is Kaleem Shaw, Midwest Thoroughbreds, and Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Breeders, Adina Springs, Ken and Sarah Ramsey, Winchell Thoroughbreds.
They won that last year, didn't they, the Ramseys?
I'm sure they did. They continue to be the top breeders. I mean, they're just, they can't lose. So
I think we should share it.
You have one last year. It's my turn this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure. That's how it works.
Term limits. We need term limits on the Eclipse
Award. Term limits on winners. That's it.
I love it. Don't give me the Academy Award again.
Please. Again. I don't want it again. We need to share it.
Yeah, that happens.
What a cool name, apprentice jockey, Drayden Van Dyke. There's an old school name, huh?
Yeah,
Drayden
awesome.
Van Dyke. That's a great name. Hey, Jody Hawk, our listener, sent me a little note and said, yes, Glenn, you have nice weather, but as a formerly very short-term resident of Florida, let me share this list. Coral snakes, rattlesnakes, cottonmouth snakes, fire ants, gators, and pimento bugs, to name a few. Just little things. They're just little things there, Jody. Just little things.
Yeah. The palmetto bugs are not little.
Yeah,
no, they're not.
They're little.
You guys have huge bugs. Huge. Now, the good news is, those of us that live in Arizona, we have nothing to worry about.
Oh no. Rattlesnakes, scorpions. You got scorpions. Scorpions freak me out. I don't like scorpions.
Oh, God, they're awful. Scorpions, black widows, coyotes, hawks, all sorts of predators. We may not have raccoons, but we make up for it in coyotes.
It's all worth it. It's all worth it for the beautiful weather. Hey, speaking of something being worth it, isn't this your weekend to go do the weird food festival you're doing?
I'm going tomorrow morning, Vegan Food Festival in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay, we want you to do us a favor. This is all the listeners now, not just Jennifer and I, all the listeners. We want you to make a note of everything that you eat, and then on Monday you're going to come back and tell us about the things you eat, and we'll all determine if we would even try it. Okay, so you come back and say, I ate this, it was absolutely wonderful, this is what it was, and we'll go, bleh. Maybe I'll get some sound effects, you know, and, you know, a guy throwing up, and then, you know, maybe a guy going, so we can determine whether we would eat that or not.
Okay, but you got to be fair. Like, if something sounds good, you have to admit it sounds really good.
Okay. All right. Good. Remind me to do the sound effects, Jennifer. I'm sure I can find a guy throwing up. That would be easy.
You're not going to need it because everything. You know what, Glenn? Let me just tell you something. I've been vegan now for 9 days, okay? I'm so hungry. I'm starving to death.
Boy,
and
lettuce
I get
doesn't
it.
Last like, very long, does it?
It just doesn't sit very long. Yeah. And so I'm so excited to go and like eat for an entire day and be stuffed. Do you know what I had for dinner last night? I had vegan mashed potatoes and squash. Vegan mashed potatoes, sauteed spinach, and soup. Like, I'm hungry. I'm starving.
What was in the soup?
I actually homemade vegetable soup. That's all I do. You have to cook all the time if you're vegan, because you have to go to the grocery store all the time too. You have no idea. You can't pre-buy vegetables. The frozen, but those are gross.
That's what I said the other day. They go bad so quickly.
Well, then you have to eat them, Glenn. That was my point. And so I'm out of vegetables like every 2 or 3 days. So I keep having – I've gone to the people at the grocery store like, oh, here comes the vegan again. I'm like, hi, I'm starving. Is that a cheese?
I don't see you continuing the vegan. You think you'll be continuing the vegan after the 30 days?
I don't think I'll continue being 100% vegan, but I am going to be much more socially conscious about what I eat for sure. Like,
For everybody else, that means cheese will be back on the menu because she loves cheese.
I do love cheese. I do.
Just
and
get a goat,
but
Jamie.
You know what?
You can have the most socially responsible cheese
own.
Ever.
Yeah.
Just get a goat.
Oh, gross. Disgusting.
You see Jamie out there milking a goat? I just don't see that happening.
I don't know. If I continue to drop weight, like I've already lost like 4 pounds, okay, just from eating no.
That's what happens when you don't eat.
I know. It's awesome. But if I continue to drop weight, I might be vegan for a couple months. Let's see how long we can ride this train.
Now, is pure vegan?
In my world, it is.
Well, it's not made with any. It's all hops and barley, right? So.
I think some vegans don't like it because there's yeast in it, but I don't care. I really don't.
Who cares about yeast? That's not grown from animals, you know? Exactly. Fine.
And you know what else I'm having trouble with is, you know, eating eggs, but my chickens lay eggs every day, and nobody's harmed or killed, and they're happy. So I've been trying to figure out if vegans eat their own chicken eggs, and some people were like, having chickens lay eggs for you is a gift from them to you. Absolutely, you're allowed to eat them.
Like, that's cruel and inhumane, having chickens.
I know, exactly. So you can't really win. It's just a kind of a make up your own mind about things, I guess. And beer is on the menu, so there you
okay,
go.
Just a second, I forgot to ask you that.
Yeah.
Well, couple things here. We are starting something new today with Really Bad Ads. I wanted to mention it at the beginning of the show because EquityMFG.com has taken over the sponsorship of the Really Bad Ads section on Fridays. We're going to continue to give away a prize for the weekly winners of Really Bad Ads, but I talked to Joseph from EquityMFG.com a couple days ago, and what we've decided to do is have some larger prizes that we do over a period of time. So every month we are going to give away a Flex and Fork, but what we're going to do is a little bit different. Jamie doesn't even know about this yet. What we're going to do is a little bit different. Yeah?
I'm paying attention. I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, nope. What we're going to do is everybody that submits an ad, whether it wins or not, during the month is going to be put into a hat, and we're going to draw a name at the end of the month, and then that person will win a Flex and Fork.
So fun!
Whether your ad wins or not, it doesn't matter. You're going to be eligible for the bigger prizes. And then at the end of the year, we're going to put all those names from the whole year, everybody that sent in an ad from the whole year, we're going to put them in a hat, and we're going to pull out.
We're going to give them a really bad horse trailer. Oh, no.
That's it. We're going to buy one of the really bad horse trailers and ship it to your house. What we're going to do is they're going to win the top end, high end, super duper model of the Shaken Fork.
Yeah.
So it's a Flex and Fork every month, and then a Shaken Fork at the end of the year for the big winner. And then we'll continue to do our smaller prizes every week for the weekly winners. But so that's what we're doing. That's where we're going to change it up a little bit. Thanks to Joseph and all the good folks over at EquityMFG.com. For contributing that and for being part of Really Bad Ads on Fridays. We appreciate that. We have a new sponsor, Jamie, that I'd like to play you a little audio from. We have a new sponsor called CoraGem, and this is a company that I don't think a lot of people have probably heard of yet. And to be honest, I hadn't either until I heard Monty Roberts and Debbie Laux on the Horsemanship Radio Show do a little segment on it. So let's take a listen to them. They did a little little tip about Coragem, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it for a minute. But take a listen. This is Debbie Roberts and Debbie Laux and Monty Roberts from the Horsemanship Radio Show.
Welcome back, Dad. I'm glad to have Monty Roberts back here for our this week's trainer's tip. And I know that you were telling me a little bit about equine skincare and some things. So I would love for you to elaborate for our listeners today, your trainer's tip on some of the skincare product that you like.
Debbie, I'm so excited to do this for you, and I'm not going to give you products, but I'm going to give you one product. It's called Coragem, Coragem, Coragem. And it's an incredible product that was discovered in the Amazon. And the killer bees have a lot to do with it because it's propolis. What they use to stop the funguses and the bacteria from eating their honey up. Discovery of this is by a New Yorker that went down there with a team of people, and they actually went right into the jungle, and they were looking for something else. This came ancillary to their original project. But Coragem does unbelievable things. And for that set of, let's say, dew poisoning or cracked heels, whatever you want to call that fungus that eats up the pasterns of the horses, they become chronic. And I had one mare that was chronic for 4 years. Everything that they put on failed, and they couldn't use this mare. She was shortlisted for the our Olympic team in dressage. But Coragem, 4 days later, she was walking sound.
Whoa.
Days later. Coragem is a miracle worker. And research shows that Coragem offers antiseptic, antibiotic,
antibacterial,
antifungal, and even antiviral properties. And it needs to have all those properties if it's going to keep those animals off the honey of the killer bees. And killer bees can do some good things, too. Coragem is one of those things. It's an unbelievable wash for the body that stops girth itch like you cannot have ever seen
before.
Yeah,
that's a big one. Yeah.
So, it's a big one in our industry, but Coragem puts an end to it. And you can just dust it onto brushes, and then you're actually helping the body as you clean your horse. I am sold on Coragem, and it's 4 years now that we've been, putting it on our horses and experimenting with various things, and it is an ace product. You cannot believe how good it is. Coragem. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just went and Googled this product so that I could see how you can find it. So I found it at CoragemAnimals.com. Coragem is Coragemanimals. CoragemAnimals.com, and they've got a promo code on there for you. It says if you say Monty in the promo code, you get 10% off and free shipping. That's a good deal. I'm glad. Monty with the Y. And let me ask you about scratches, because down here in Southern California, we get scratches every March and April. Have you used it on scratches before?
Yeah, that's the skin fungus that hits down there at the pasture, and then they call it cracked heels, or they call it dew poison, rain poison, and
scratches.
A lot of things.
Yeah, we had it on cattle.
Yeah, scratches, scratches, the same thing. Yeah, and Debbie,
it's
works.
Chronic.
And let your people know that this is a good product, super product, that will change the world of dealing with these funguses and other things that beset our horses' skins.
Good. Good to know. Good tip of the week. Thank you.
So this is like the super, you heard about the bee extract that people use for various things, anything from beauty aids to all kinds of different stuff. Well, this is like a super duper version of that. Apparently the killer bees do it better. Now, I want to know who the guy is that goes down there and shakes up the nest to gather this stuff so that they can make Coragem. That's not a job I want, to be honest.
Yeah, this is
bees.
Harvested from the hives of the African killer bees. No, I you tell me. I need you to go in there and I need you to pluck some out of that hive right there, and then we'll give you $10 an hour. You know what?
Yeah.
It's not enough money.
We'll just let the people at Corrigem do that, and we'll not try and do it for ourselves. But Monty says this stuff. Now, we just got some in. I haven't tried it yet, but Monty says this stuff really works. They've been using it at the ranch out there in California for years. I talked to him about it, and he highly, highly recommends it. And you know, I trust what he says about it. And there's been so many people that are now starting to use Corrigem for topicals for wound and infection care. Check it out at CorraGemAnimals.com. And we're going to try and get the CorraGem people on next week to talk a little bit about how exactly they do go about doing the harvesting and all that stuff. And I know that Dr. Wendy said in traditional Chinese medicine, the bees have provided solutions for all kinds of medicinal things over thousands of years in traditional Chinese medicine. So it's something to definitely take a look at, and it's probably vegan. You could probably.
I was going to say, I don't think it's vegan because honey is not vegan. So.
Oh, it's not vegan? Because the bees make it?
It's not vegan, but maybe they don't kill the bees, so we'll be okay.
Hey, I'm not going to go around killing the killer bees, let me tell you. I'm not going to be pissing them off. That's not
no.
I'm going to sneak in there.
Behind honey is you keep the bees alive as long
yeah,
as possible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You want them working over and over and over again.
Well,
so anyway,
I just won't eat it.
We don't think you want to eat Corrigem either. It's probably not good. All right, so that's we thank them for becoming part of the show here at Horses in the Morning.
Welcome.
Now, there's a news story. I don't know if this is him just stomping his feet or what. Have you followed the Andrew Nicholson story, the inventor, the New Zealand inventor who's having a real spat with his federation there in New Zealand?
You know, I would just like to say to Andrew Nicholson, because I'm sure he's listening, we welcome you in the United States. Please, I've got room for you in my backyard. Bring your horses. Come be in the U.S.
But he's looking at Britain. He's not looking at the United States.
I know, we're better. We're better here, yeah.
We need him
more.
We have
a bigger country. We have more room. It's cheaper here. But, yeah, he apparently had a spat after the World Equestrian Games. And I don't understand exactly what happened. But he had a spat with Equestrian Sport New Zealand, which is their form of their regulatory body there. And he had a spat, and apparently the spat was pretty big. And he's actually talking about now withdrawing from New Zealand and switching to Great Britain. So I think he's doing that because Great Britain's doing so well right now, he'd just be jumping on a winning team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm saying come to the U.S., buddy. We need you.
We need him to fight. Desperately.
He did say that his withdrawal from the national program leaves him without campaign funding, and also it leaves him a major question mark about whether he could go to Rio, because basically they're not going to support him in New Zealand, and he has nobody to go, he has no country to go to the Olympics with. So that's where the problems are coming in a little bit. I have another quick story here for you, too. This is out of Baltimore. This is a bizarre story. So we have a child in a wheelchair that's 8 years old. There is some kind of auto race going on in the city. So they have all the streets blocked off, and they have the mounted police horses out directing traffic. And this is down at Inner Harbor, which where Jennifer and I spend a lot of time. We used to go to Inner Harbor all the time. And down at Inner Harbor, this girl in a wheelchair was use of one hand. Came up and apparently got all giddy and was screaming about meeting the horse. And the officer said, you can go ahead and pet the horse. Well, she went to pet the horse. Remember, she's sitting in a wheelchair. She went to pet the horse on the nose. The horse put his nose, Buster, the horse's name is, lowered his head, and Buster then proceeded to grab onto her hand and not let go. Apparently, the horse bit her hand and wasn't letting go. They had to yank her hand out of the horse's mouth. And the parents are now suing the city for $1 million because of this. But, this was kind of a bizarre story. You don't hear about police horses doing this too often. They said normally when somebody asks to pet the police horse, they don't let them pet around the mouth or the nose for obvious reasons. They have them pet on the neck, you know. But this girl couldn't reach, and I don't think the officer was, you know, even thinking about it. the city came out and said that the officer was not negligent and did not have an evil motive influenced by hate to deliberately and willfully injure the child. Well, that's probably true. Sure.
Yeah,
sure, he didn't
obviously
ask his first,
you know,
to bite the child.
But yeah. Is that what they were saying in the thing? Like, they're, like, blaming the cop for the horse biting the kid? You know, this is a sad story because it's about a child getting bit by a horse, but also about a police officer and a police horse getting in trouble for doing their job and trying to reach out to the people and try to be, you know, connected with the community. And I've never had a policeman say, "Don't touch my police horse," ever.
No, but they'll usually guide you to, you know, pet it on the neck, or they always do not let you hand it treats. You know, they don't do that because of this problem right here. Some horses are just nippy. So you're exactly right. That's the reason I brought it up is, you know, this kind of thing just doesn't help in us trying to keep horses out there in front of people. You know, it doesn't help. You don't hear about this too often, and that was the other reason I brought it up. It's just not something you hear. The other interesting thing I found out in the article is this police unit in Baltimore, the mounted unit, was founded 127 years ago by a Confederate soldier who served under Stonewall Jackson. It was initially to enforce the city's 6-mile-an-hour speed limit for horse-drawn carriages. Did you know
Wow.
they had a speed limit for horse-drawn carriages? I could imagine.
If you remember in Black Beauty, there were times when people drove the carriage horses way too fast.
I don't remember.
Do I need to read the book again? I will read it again.
No. We saw those videos. I posted those videos not too long ago of New York City back in the late 1800s, and it was so crowded you couldn't speed if you want. You weren't doing 6 miles an hour. The streets were so crowded with horse and buggy. But anyway, yep, that was founded by the Confederate soldier. So that's how that unit started. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Arabian horse racing. Not something we've talked about, I don't think, ever here on the show. So we'll be right back after this.
He was her first love, the one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trails and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall to the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, thank you to Kentucky Performance Products for their continued support in 2015 of the Horses in the Morning Show. You can find them also on Facebook just by searching Kentucky Performance Products. Well, next up, we're going to talk about Arabian racing, and not something that we've talked about. We used to do an Arabian episode here once a month, but I don't think we ever got into the racing side of things. And to help us with that conversation, let's start with Stephanie, who is the owner and editor of Arabian Finish Line magazine. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear about this. We cover, you know, thoroughbred racing all the time and standardbred racing. We have a lot of, actually, people who listen that in the barns at the racetrack. So this will be fun to dive into Arabian racing a little bit. And also with us is it Corliss, who's the director of marketing magazine. Hi, Corliss.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. So good to talk to you. Corliss, that's an unusual name. Where'd that one come from?
Oh, it's an old family name.
I like
it. Yeah.
Well, Stephanie, let's start with Arabian racing. You know, it's probably been going on a lot longer than everybody realizes, but it's one of the lesser known racing sports.
That's true. And in this country, in the U.S., it really hasn't been going on for that long compared to certainly thoroughbred racing and that sort of thing. It kind of got started in the U.S. in the late 50s, early 60s, but it wasn't until the 80s, the early 80s, that it started paramutually. And so that it, and that's when it started really kind of gaining some strength in the U.S. But, you know, in other countries of the world, it's been going on for hundreds of years. Certainly, you know, in the Middle East and in France and Poland, it's been going on for much, much longer. But it's still, all things considered, relatively new to this country.
Now, we, you know, obviously with the quarter horses, we're doing sprints, and with the thoroughbreds, we're doing longer races. What do the Arabians do?
The Arabians are typically similar to the thoroughbred distances. We run a lot of 6-furlong, 7-furlong races. We go up to about a mile and a quarter. And so because we race on the tracks, the same tracks that the thoroughbreds and quarter horses run on. So we do the similar distances, but I will say we're not as fast as the thoroughbreds.
Well, Corliss, where do you find it? What track, you know, how do you find Arabian races?
Well, the Arabians are getting ready to start running again at Houston Race Park in Texas. And they run at different racetracks around the country all year. What you can do if people want to find out about where the Arabians are running, the easiest way is to go to the Arabian Jockey Club website, which is the national organization that that is over all the or works with all the state affiliate racing associations. So people can go there and find out where they're running at different times. They'll run at Sam Houston in Texas for several months, and then they'll be running at Delaware Park and up in Colorado and back over in California. And there are tracks all over California, 3 racetracks in Texas where they run Class 1 tracks, and they'll be running in Michigan. So people can look up on the site and just find out where something is close to their area. Yeah.
Well,
and
do they run on a thoroughbred card, or do they have their own cards?
No, they're on the same card. At some meets, we'll be running it with the quarter horses, actually, but not in the same races. Say there's 10 races that night, the Arabians may have 1 or 2 races that night, and then the quarter horses would have the other 8 or 9, or thoroughbreds would have the other 8 or 9, depending on which, you know, meet they're running with.
And Stephanie, how do they, you know, how do the Arabians compare to the thoroughbreds time-wise in the same distances?
Well, like I said, they are slower. You would not want to put an Arabian and a thoroughbred together in a race because there's really no contest. They are very competitive against themselves. You know, Arabians
right,
against
right.
Arabians are very competitive, but they are definitely slower. They have not been bred, you know, for pure speed for as long as the thoroughbred has. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the thoroughbred though, after a mile, is going to be done, and the Arabian could do 10 more. So that's
that. Well,
you know,
that is true. Now, if you go endurance, if you start going, 10, 15, 20 miles, you better believe the Arabian, they'll go forever. But when we look at the traditional distances on flat racing, the thoroughbreds are considerably faster.
What makes Arabian racing so exciting? Are they, do they tend to be a little bit more level-headed than the thoroughbreds? Or you know what I'm asking?
I do know what you're asking. And, you know, one of the things that certainly the people that are involved in Arabian racing, one of the things that they love is the beauty of the Arabian horse. They are just strikingly beautiful, and they're beautiful athletes. And many of them do have a different running style than thoroughbreds. I mean, they can, not all of them, but some of them will, you know, they'll have a different look because their heads will be a little higher and they might flag their tail a bit. But they are absolutely stunning creatures to watch. And they are very, very smart. And, you know, one of the big differences between Arabian racing and thoroughbred racing is that Arabians aren't allowed to begin to race until they're at least 3 years old, and many people hold them until they're 4. So this gives the horse more time to grow up, more time to get stronger, and as a result, we see our horses running for more years compared to the thoroughbreds. It's not unusual at all to see our horses running that are, you know, five and older. And some of our best horses are 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And so that makes it really exciting that you can follow a horse, you know, every year. You get to see them again and you get to see them, you know, just get better. Or you can get some really good rivalries that last for years instead of a couple of races that you sometimes see in the thoroughbred industry. Because unfortunately, those horses often get retired just when you're, you know, just when you're getting behind a horse. So that's one of the things that's a lot of fun about the Arabians, is that you can really cheer for these horses over a long period of time.
And Corliss, you know, let's talk a little bit about Arabian Finish Line magazine. The magazine covers exclusively Arabian racing. Is that the deal?
Yes, it covers Arabian racing. And a lot of times, too, well, there will be articles about the aftermarket for Arabian racing, which is one thing that's exciting, too, about racing Arabians, is that they don't just race. I mean, Arabians have careers after racing in show or on trail, and sometimes before racing. You see horses that are being even, you know, shown in sport horse halter or in prior years in main ring halter, and then put into the Arabian racing circuit. And then when they get finished, they can do other things. So from time to time, there'll be articles too about the other careers of the Arabian racehorse and the history, because also, when you were talking about the history of Arabian racing, I mean, the Arabian has such a rich history of racing in around the world, which is so exciting. And they are the forefather of all the racing breeds, of the thoroughbred and every light horse breed in the world. So from time to time, Stephanie will have articles in the magazine that talk about the history of the horse, which is kind of neat.
Now, with your with the thoroughbred farms, we tend to have a lot of bigger breeding operations. With the Arabians like that, is it smaller family operations, or are there a couple large ones? How's it break out?
Oh, you see everything. It is very, very interesting. It's kind of the racetrack is an equalizer of all the different types of farms, because you have farms that have 100 and 200 horses. Very big breeding operations, ones that are connected up with a lot of alliances in the Middle East and in Europe and other, you know, countries, and they're just very well known. Then you see the backyard breeders that may have two or three in their backyard, and they can win against the big farms. So it's very interesting. It's a very fun world to run in, because there are opportunities for everybody. It's not just for the big breeders. So yeah, it's really exciting.
Stephanie, do they have their own set of jockeys, or do they use the jockeys that are at the track that do the thoroughbreds? How's that work?
Yeah, for the most part, we do use the same jockeys. Now, there are some jockeys that ride exclusively more Arabians than thoroughbreds. Our leading rider for 2014 was Kirsten Swan, and she, for the most part, almost exclusively rode Arabians. She did ride some thoroughbreds. So, but they are all licensed jockeys. They are, you know, they all go through the same sort of thing. We have some that ride both fairly equally, but a lot of them. Because Arabians, and she has talked a little bit about how Arabians can be a little bit different to ride, partly because their times are slower and that sort of thing. So some thoroughbred jockeys that aren't familiar with Arabians need a little bit of time to adjust, because they are a smaller horse, so physically they have to adjust a little bit, and because they are slower, they have to change the clocks in their head, you know, because a lot of jockeys, you know, time things. And so there are some adjustments that need to be made, but they are all the regular jockeys that, you know, anybody's available as long as they're licensed.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And do they do the weight thing with the jockeys that's similar to the thoroughbreds?
Yes. Yeah, that's okay. All similar. You know, typically Arabians may not carry quite as much weight. But, you know, in our hand, we do have handicap races, and some of those will get well up into the, you know, over 120 to 125, 128 pounds for the really good ones. So, yeah, the weights are very similar.
And is there a race of the year, sort of like our Kentucky Derby or the Hamiltonian? Is there one of those for the Arabian World too?
Excuse me. Well, we have probably our most prestigious race of the last few years has been the President of the UAE Cup Stakes, and it is for it's an open race. And it has been held at a variety of different tracks, so it rotates. But we've managed to get it on some really big racing days. It was the inaugural one was held at Keeneland, and that was the first time Arabians had ever raced at Keeneland. We've also held it. It was on the undercard of Preakness Day at Pimlico, and that was the first time an Arabian race was ever held on a Triple Crown Day race. It's been held twice at Churchill Downs on Stephen Foster Day. But our biggest kind of feather in our cap was in 2013 when it was held at Santa Anita on the first day of the Breeders' Cup. That was very, very exciting for us and just a real thrill to be a part of the Thoroughbred Breeders' Cup. So that's kind of our big race right now. Internationally, actually just yesterday, we have the Kahala Classic that's run on Dubai World Cup Day, and it was just announced that purse was increased to $1 million. So that's very, very exciting for us. And so that's kind of our equivalent of the Dubai World Cup. And so we have some big races all over the world. We don't have anything quite like the Kentucky Derby. Of course, you know, that's a race on its own that, you know, there's nothing quite like the Kentucky Derby, but we do have our own, and we have graded races like the Thoroughbred Industry. We have grade 1, 2, and 3 races that signify, you know, the levels of competition and everything. But we're excited about some of these big races and the opportunities that we've gotten to present the Arabians to a broader audience of Thoroughbred fans. And that's been a whole lot of fun for us.
And this year, too, we're going to be having the jewel races. They're going to be having the triple jewel, which the first leg will be running in Houston on March 7th this year. And that's going to be kind of a similar thing to the Triple Crown that they're reinstating now. And this is done by the Sheikh Mansour Festival that sponsors many of the races and big stakes around the United States and around the world. So that'll be very exciting to see start to happen.
That is exciting. Now, you know, in the Thoroughbred racing, we are about to come upon the time of the Eclipse Awards being given out. Is there a end of the year kind of Academy Award, Eclipse Award for the Arabians?
There is.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, it's called the Darley Awards, named of course for the Darley Arabian, which Thoroughbred people are certainly very familiar with. And it's funny that you said the Oscars, because our award ceremony is going to be held April 3rd at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, which is, you know, of course. Where,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's very, very exciting.
Wait a minute. I picture a red carpet with the Arabians with their tails up dancing down the red carpet, like into the Chinese theater.
Well,
that's
we
what
do
I'm
have the red carpet. We don't necessarily have the horses going down the red carpet.
It'd be pretty, though.
It would be
beautiful.
Okay, this is the only way that I'm going to walk up on stage and accept an award in that theater is to win it with Arabian Racing. So I'm changing sports.
There you go.
I would like to thank the Academy.
I mean, you know, and that's kind of fun, too. It's been sort of like, wow, this is where, you know, all the famous Hollywood actors sit and everything. So, yeah,
see,
it's really kind of a treat
Eclipse
for us.
The Eclipse Award are held at, like, a track in Florida. I mean, you guys get the big time.
Hey, I tell you, you know. It's
well,
great.
You can check out the website. It's ArabianFinishLine.com, ArabianFinishLine.com. You guys were so great to come on with us. Now I can't wait to see an Arabian race. I'm going to have to look around and find one so I can go watch. You know, I did watch some on YouTube, and I have to say I was a little disappointed because I expected to see 10 tails up in the, straight up in the air, and I thought that would make it so much fun, but there were not 10 tails straight up in the air, so that was kind of disappointing. But you know, it was still a fun race, so...
Well, good. Well, and we are so appreciative of having the opportunity to introduce more horse people to the Arabian racing, because it's a fun place to be, and you know, we are certainly welcome we welcome all horse people.
Stephanie and Corliss from Arabian Finish Line magazine at ArabianFinishLine.com. Thank you, ladies. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun. They get the big theater. Where the heck?
I would like to thank the Academy, and I would like to thank all of my fans. And I've got to write a speech just for fun.
You have to get ready. You have to see you breeding Arabians. You're in Arabian territory out there. You could be breeding Arabians. You live in the desert, for God's sake. It's perfect.
They should be running everywhere.
I know. Well, they are getting more out there. I have seen more and more about it, and that's why I wanted to have them on to talk a little bit more about it. But, yep, that's fun. Let's take a break for equestrian collections, and then we're going to hear the Beaches of Cheyenne. And we're going to be back with more show here. Don't forget, Really Bad Ads. It's coming up shortly. Hi, Glenn here, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Hi, Glenn. This week I want to feature the Winter Cozy Helmet Cover. Everybody out there probably already has a fleece helmet cover, but they don't have one like this. This is just the cutest thing. They've taken the basic design, the lycra part goes over the helmet. A lot of the fleece covers used to be fleece all the way around. This is much easier to get on your helmet. It's a lycra, like most of the helmet covers, you know, regular helmet covers. And then it's got the fleece that comes around and velcros around your chin. You can also pull it up if you want to a little bit. But the difference is that they have colors. Instead of always being black, these come in a whole bunch of fun colors, and the kids love them. At the barns, they're just, for $13.95, they are just a really fun thing, and the kids like to wear them in the winter, and it will get them out to ride a little bit more if they're not so cold. So I have one, so I thought maybe your listeners might enjoy these as well.
So it combines a helmet cover with a scarf.
Yes, it does, yeah. Only better because it velcros so it doesn't flap around or anything, really easy to get on and off. I actually got one for my trainer for a Christmas present because he keeps wanting me to build an indoor. I can't do that, so I got him one of these, and I said, here's your indoor.
Here's your $13.95 indoor.
Yeah, exactly.
These are $13.95. They're called the Winter Cozy Helmet Covers from Equestrian Collections. Just go to equestriancollections.com and do a search for Winter Cozy, and you'll find them.
Up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. By the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door and patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out, well it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand, died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Just her diary by the bed that told about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said that I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne. They said she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
Dan Roberts with the Beaches of Cheyenne. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by KPPUSA.com. And somebody else who hosts the show once a month is Kim Baker. She's here the fourth Thursday of every month, but she's stopping by right now because we're running out of time for her Costa Rica trip. Good morning, Kim.
Hey, Glenn and Jamie. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Things in Colorado.
Yes, and it's a balmy 16 degrees this morning here in Denver.
Are you snowed under, too? You got snow everywhere?
Well, we do have some snow on the ground, yes. We had some freezing drizzle and stuff like that last night, so everybody's scraping off their windshields this morning as they're heading into work. And, yeah, it's just another beautiful day in Colorado, but certainly makes me think about warm tropical breezes and nice sandy beaches to be warm versus freezing. My hands are so cold right now.
Well, tell us about the trip, March 15th through the 22nd, right?
That's right, March 15th through the 22nd. And I'm just going to, if it's okay with you two, I'm just going to go through and just describe, like, what people are going to experience for the week. So
sure.
If you're coming from Canada or the U.S., it's an easy trip. Most likely you'll go through Houston and then fly down to the Liberia airport in Costa Rica. And then we get a guided tour from the airport over to Nosara, which is on the Pacific side of Costa Rica. And it's a quaint little village down there. We're going to be staying in a mansion that is being coveted by the producers of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So I know The Bachelor just started its season this week. And so if you've ever watched those shows, which I personally can only handle about 5 minutes worth of them, but the mansions that you see on there, that's what we're going to be staying in. So that's pretty awesome. And we're going to have a chef that's going to be on site that's going to prepare 5-star meals for us. So if you are a vegan, a vegetarian, or you like meat, you like fish, whatever, you're allergic to dairy, doesn't matter. We can cover anything and everything that you want. All these meals are prepared to order. And then
there you go, Jamie. You could have a week of getting your own meals made specifically for you.
God, that'd be nice. Oh,
I got to tell you, Jamie, I can cook, but I don't necessarily like it. And it's tough to cook, you know, for one person anyway. And this is so nice, like, to have, you sit down, you're being served, you don't have to think about what you're going to make. You just get to enjoy it.
So
let me tell you, we burn lots of calories down there. So you're going to be really hungry, and the food is fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. So then Sunday night, we're just going to relax, you know, get tuned into your space, have dinner together. The next day we're going to meet and kind of go over what everybody's goals are for the retreat. So what I like to do is customize your experience. So whether you are an advanced rider, you ride, you're an adventurer, you're a dressage rider, you're an Olympic rider, Grand Prix rider, or you're a recreational trail rider, it doesn't matter. I'm going to make sure that your experience is exactly what you'd like to do. And last year I did. I had a 3-day adventure. I also had a horse hubby who wasn't comfortable cantering, but by the end of the week, he was cantering on the beach with his horse. So we go through the whole week. We do some exercises to get to know the horses first. You're going to hand select your own horse, and these are Costa Rican horses. And they come in all colors, and there's some paints, there's some buckskins, there's grays, blacks, bays, you name it, they got it. The only difference with these horses is they tend to be just a little bit more narrow, and they're a little smaller. Because it is so warm down there, it's easier for them to dissipate the heat by doing that. And then we're just going to work on cultivating the relationship with this horse for the week through, you know, different exercises. We're going to go swimming in the river. You can ride bareback and bitless if you want, if that's one of your bucket list items. We're going to do some trail rides through the jungle. We've got some sunset rides on the beach. We've got a moonlit ride planned. And there is a secluded beach that we go to as well, where we like to do, you know, the cantering, or a couple of us gallops last year. So whatever you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable with that, these horses are so amazing. There's one horse in particular that everybody else could be taking off running down the beach, and this horse will walk. How amazing is that? We all of us horse people know that there's not many horses that if the whole herd took off, they wouldn't take off too.
That'd be fine.
That's your horse, Glenn.
I got my horse. I was thinking my horse would be the pool, but I could ride that one. That'd be all right.
Yep, his name is Rambo. And great name, right?
Yeah.
And he's just amazing. He doesn't care. He's like, yeah, whatever you guys go do your thing. I'm just going to hang out and walk along. So we've got, like I said, regardless of what your riding ability is, we have a horse specifically for you. We do yoga. And, Glenn, I know this is a favorite question of yours about yoga pants. It's too hot to wear yoga pants, so we're all just in, you know, T-shirts or tank tops and shorts. It's just something that's comfortable.
Nobody wants to see me in yoga pants, so that's for sure.
God, no. Good Lord.
Hey, get a massage for the week. That's included.
Every day, like five times? Can I just have the massage 5 times a day? Can I just skip the yoga?
I just
wanted to clear, is this like an annual thing that you do, or is this just a one-week thing, or what?
So last year was the first year that I did it. They found me, Carrie and Heidi. Carrie owns the horses. Heidi does all the logistics, and she's the yoga instructor. And they're into, you know, holistic horsemanship. So natural horsemanship, you know, just working with the horse. Like I said, a lot of the horses, we don't have bits for them. Some of them do. They also have hackamores, and all of their tack is synthetic. So they have both English and Western. And the reason that it's synthetic is because of the humidity down there. You wouldn't be able to have real leather. It would not last. But everything's real comfortable, and it's really just going in. So if anybody listens to my show, it's very similar along the lines of, you know, what I do. It's really working on the communication style with the horse, on your overall relationship, and all of us know that horses are mirrors, right? So anything that you have going on, the horse is going to show you. And then I'm going to give you the tools on how to improve that, and you can take that and bring it back home to your own horse, and you can apply it to everything else in your life. So all the other relationships that you have in your life, whether it's a dog, cat, spouse, significant other, boss, coworker, kid, friend, whatever, it will transfer. And that's what,
that's
wonderful, is you get to take that home.
Well, Kim, where can people find out the information?
So the easiest is just go to my website, which is KB, as in Kim Baker, naturalhorsemanship.com. I have a banner on my homepage, if you scroll down just a little bit, and click on that, and it'll give you the flyer for the retreat, and it'll tell you everything about it. It'll give you the link to how you can go and sign up. Now, the registration deadline is January 15th, so there are 4 spaces that are available. There's actually more, but there's 4 to fill right now. That's what the deadline's for. So that's, you know, if you're coupled up, then that's just two couples. And that's what we need for January 15th. And to finish answering Jamie's question, they invited me back. Jamie, Carrie, and Heidi invited me back.
Nice.
So I don't know if I'm going to do it again next year or not. I am looking at doing some retreats other places, like Iceland, Ireland, and New Zealand. But I have to make connections with those folks, and that takes a while to do that. So this could be the last time I go to Costa Rica. I just don't know.
All right. It's KBNaturalHorsemanship.com. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Glenn and Jamie.
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Take
Thanks.
Care. All right. It's that time of the week, the first one of 2015.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but, hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, that's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when our listeners submit ads from Craigslist or elsewhere about horses or farms or other things, and we read them and have a little fun. And for that, we give a prize. This Really Bad Ads is sponsored by EquityMFG.com. And, of course, they're the home of the Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork, our two favorite manure forks in the whole world. We use them every single week in our farms, Jamie and I. And I was out using the Flex and Fork yesterday, cleaning the paddocks. I did find something that the Flex and Fork could not even do, Jamie. And that was, Helena said yesterday her poops in Rhode Island were so frozen to the ground, she was afraid to even break the Flex and Fork. She said she took and started using it like a chisel, and that wasn't even working. So... Now, what other fork could you use like a chisel and not break the tines? You know, that's the power and strength of the Flex and Fork. And, of course, the Shake and Fork. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say I found something else it doesn't do. My size tines do not pick up tiny little baby puppy poop. It just flies right through the line. I need to get that little kitty cat one. He has. They have one.
Yeah, you're
going
to have the kitty cat one for that. Well, you can get, if you didn't get one for the holidays, if you didn't get one for Christmas, then you need to take your Christmas money and buy one. You will thank yourself every single day you use this thing that that you bought, either a Shake and Fork or a Flex and Fork. So get out there, check it out, EquityMFG.com. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you missed it, every entry, everybody who submits a really bad ad is going to be put into a monthly pool to win a Flex and Fork. And what's also going to happen is everybody that submits a really bad ad in 2015 is going to be put into a pool, names in a hat, and they have a chance to win a Shake and Fork. But don't wait. Why keep cleaning stalls for the next year with a crappy fork when you could be using the best one out there? EquityMFG.com. Well, let's get started. This is one from Gina, who sent us this. Livestock or hay hauling not for free in the United States. I will haul anything as long as it won't eat me. No lowballers. If you can't afford it, ride the animal there.
Wow.
A guy with an attitude. I don't think I want him hauling my horses.
Let me just tell you right now, there is no chance I would put my horse in that guy's trailer. Just no chance.
As long as it won't eat me. If you can't afford it, ride it there.
Ride it.
It's awesome. A guy with an attitude. That's a business plan right there.
There you go.
Marketing 101.
Winning people over.
Yeah.
Alexis sent in this next one. Oh, my gosh. This sounds awesome. Listen to the title. Perfect horse, $150 to the perfect home ever. Do you think this is a teenage girl?
Yes. It's perfect in every way.
It's perfect in every way. Perfect horse, like $150 to like the perfect home only. I like have this wonderful horse for sale. He's amazing! Exclamation points. He has one tiny little problem. He's blind in both eyes. But that, like, doesn't stop him from being, like, the perfect quiet horse. He's an excellent, beautiful horse with papers and baby pictures. I only ask, like, $150 to, like, make sure he goes to the perfect home.
First time baby pictures have ever been offered for sale with the horse.
Not to be whatever, but baby pictures are on every registration papers for most every breed of horse.
Maybe she should have reworded this. He wasn't quite the perfect horse. Maybe we should have said he was a wonderful horse that's blind.
He's so perfect. He's like OMG perfect. Just tiny little thing. He's kind of blind.
Yeah.
Just a little
blind. I've known blind horses that have done very well, but I wouldn't necessarily call them perfect. That's kind of
He's like so perfect. Oh, my God. So perfect.
I forgot to mention the prize today is a box of crap from my closet. I need to get rid of the rest of this crap. So that's the prize. I forgot to mention that. So it's a box
end
of crap.
End of year stuff.
Yeah, end of year stuff. And, you know, I'm going to Ada soon, so maybe I'll wait to send it out because I'll have a lot more crap at Ada. But, yeah, the box of crap. And, you know, Ruby, who just won the last box of crap, was really happy with it. So she got some good stuff in there. I got some good stuff that's in the box of crap. Ruby, who is up next, actually, sent this one in. This is from Arizona, Jamie. Good riding there, $600 in Queen Creek. Good Appaloosa mare for sale. She is 14 years old, very pretty, awesome personality, loves attention, loves to be groomed. Perfect in every way. No, I added that. Okay.
Not blind.
Not blind, but she doesn't have any feet. You know, there's a little problem. No, she is a good riding mare. She does her best in the arena and on trails, but she doesn't like cars and she doesn't like motorcycles and she doesn't like big vehicles passing by. But she can be ridden out of the road, but just by an experienced rider.
If you ride her where nobody goes, no traffic.
If there's no traffic, bicycles apparently are okay, but cars, motorcycles, and big vehicles, forget it. That horse is gone. She trailers good, rides out in the desert. Perfect. There's no cars. Just fine, and the arena would be awesome for beginners. I have trained my daughter with this horse, and she did great. You can put anybody on her with no experience and walk away, and she won't give them any problems, except if there's a car, a motorcycle, or a big passing vehicle.
Yeah.
I will sell her for $600 or very reasonable offer or trade. Are you ready? Our first trade of 2015.
Okay.
We will trade for goats. Let me guess what the second one is, Jamie. Give a guess. Goats?
I'm going to guess guns.
Goats, guns, a miniature horse, or, this is the first, a decent, broke, male, unaltered donkey.
What?
That's, yes, a decent, broke, male, unaltered donkey. That's a first. Why do you think she wants that? A could be interested in computer stuff for our 15-year-old, or let me know what you got. She is looking for a forever home where she'll get used and get lots of attention. preferably one that sits off the road a long way. So I added that. It's just a decent, broke, male, unaltered donkey.
They want to start breeding donkeys. Never heard that before, though. That's a new one.
Yeah.
Amazing. If you hear any sort of thing, it's because Lucas has my phone and he's in here with me because Daddy went to work already. All right. Marilyn sent in the next one. 8-year-old quarter horse for sale, $600. I wouldn't click on that because it just sounds really good. For sale in Deltona, Florida.
Deltona, Florida.
Gotta love it. 8.5, 8-year-old, 14, two-hand. Hey, you gotta chill out. Okay, go. Lucas discovered briar horses, so go play with the briar horses.
You're corrupting that child. That child's being corrupted.
He loves horses. Okay. For sale in Deltona, Florida, 8-year-old, 14, two, and quarter horse mare. I've done a lot of work with her. When I got her, she would rear and was very impatient, but she will now stand as long as you want her to, and she has not reared in months. As long as you want her to. She is barefoot. She is a very good girl, but she's more for an intermediate rider without some more work. Thank you. So...
Apparently stand is all she does. When you try and go, it's a problem.
I don't know where the barefoot came into the whole thing. Like, wow, this is just really bad information. I just don't get it.
She would rear and is very impatient. She has tied her to the ground. So as long as you stand still, you're fine. But walking, trotting, or loping, forget it. They don't do any of that stuff. Who needs that? Sienna sent the following one in. 8-year-old quarter walking gelding, $2,250 in Shepherd. Rocky is a gentle, well-broke, 20 hands tall sorrel gelding.
What?
Holy crap, that's a big, big quarter walker gelding. He's great with women, kids, and men. Will get up and go when needed. I imagine 20 hands tall, that's a big go.
You're going to get up.
Trailers well. What the hell would you put him in? Trailers well, even in a bumper pull two horse. But he the whole thing up so you can't haul another horse. But he the whole thing up. I think they meant to say he takes the whole thing up so you can't haul another horse. No kidding. Gonna need a tractor trailer. Put the thing in.
There's zero chance of this horse actually being 20 hands tall, right?
That's zero chance. No, the tallest horse in the world, I think, was 20.2 hands, and that was some draft horse.
Yeah.
But apparently he's big because he takes up the whole two-horse trailer. So he is a large
horse.
You
know what? It might be a big horse, but you know how when you measure a horse with a tape and you're supposed to, step here and then lift the tape all the way up to the top? They stepped at the very bottom.
Or they couldn't
reach it.
Well, get up and go when needed. Yep, you got a 20-hand horse, you're going to go. You're going to go.
Yeah, and you're going to get up, too. Beth sent in the next one. Oh, gosh. This is terrible. I'm just going to read it as written. Thanks, Beth. ISO a free horse rideable or trade you with a truck in Folks Rum. ISO
Folks
a
rum?
Ride... Oh, my gosh. ISO, a ride, able, horse, I, habe, a lot of land with or her horse, but they're my aunts, and I would love to have one that I can trail, I ride, have land, lot of, I will trade my truck for a horse. Let me get that last line out. I will trade my truck for a horse.
You think this is a friend of Lucas's, like his 3-year-old friend, sat there on the phone and typed this in, and, you know, didn't really want the horse, the truck? Mom doesn't need a truck. I need a horse.
I have a horse.
I think this is like a 5-year-old. That's what I think. That's a 5-year-old ad. You know, that's what we've problem with letting your kids have the phone.
I will totally trade my mom's minivan for a horse.
We don't need to go anywhere anyway. Mel Donald from Australia sent in this classic horse trailer, the first horse trailer of 2015. They call them floats down there. It's a double float for sale. I guess that means two horses. Removable top, so you can use the bottom as a trailer. It's dual axle, and they want $3,500 for this puppy. And yes, it does. It apparently that whole white part, there's a blue part on the bottom that's kind of the trailer part, and then there's the white box part at the top with sort of some fencing around it that will hold in the animals, I guess. And that apparently that white fencing part at the top comes off to make it a convertible. That's a first.
It's beautiful. Doesn't that look like Florida to you?
It does look like Florida, yeah. And of course, the tires are flat. But it's jacked up. The jack might work on this one. We might.
I don't know. It's
$3,500 for this, Jamie. $3,500.
Maybe in Australian dollars.
Yeah. It's a bear. It does look like a trap, actually. You could put bait in there and catch something in it.
You know the old movies where the circus was coming to town and there was like these things with tigers in them? That's pretty much what
there
it looks like.
Yes, it looks like a tiger. Right. Yeah. It does look like that. You could put a gator in there and they'd probably stay.
Exactly. And there probably is one because it's Florida. Diane Jonathan
this is Australia.
To the next one.
This is Australia.
Yeah. Exactly, I know, but it looks like Florida. Diane Thomas sent in the next one, and it's funny because furciosis attack kitten. So ferocious attack kitten. Put in that trailer up above.
It was spelled wrong.
Close the door. Close the door. Thank you.
This destructive kitty has been trained as a proud warrior and will fiercely defend your house, even against you. Has a very soft and furry belly, like a teddy bear. However, he will bite your face off if you try to touch it. For the love of God, someone please take this thing out of my house.
Jennifer, did you put an ad on Craigslist for our cat?
No, not me. No, I didn't do that.
Is the beast still here? I don't see the beast anywhere. She's laying here with
kitty,
me.
Kitty, 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 kitty. Where's Frank? My husband got rid of him. It sounds like every cat.
Yes, it does. It does sound like every cat. Why do we own cats? Why is that? I don't know.
We don't own cats. They own us. Let's be real.
Well, Ellen said a great Gildan horse. We get a lot of Gildan horses. Great Gildan horse, G-I-L-D-E-N, Gildan horse, $650. I have a great trail Gildan horse. He's just great all around. Anybody can ride him. Non-experienced riders and kids as well can control him. He's 16 hands and 16 years of age. Contact me and I can answer all your questions fast, and you can buy him for happy family.
Glenn, you gave it a little too much credit because there's not a lick of punctuation either.
I just couldn't do it. And, you know, I really wanted to go to a happy family. Apparently this horse, if you're an unhappy family, you're not allowed to buy this horse. Just saying.
Fast, you can buy him for a happy family. It's Yoda. Yoda wrote that ad. Fast, you can buy him for a happy family.
But he's experienced.
Oh, I like this next one. Trade for livestock. If only I had livestock. Rolex watch. Somebody won Rolex and they're getting rid of it for cows. Rolex watch. This was a gift and I wore it only a few times. I'm not a watch wearer. This is a real, not a fake. Sure. This retails for $1,200. I will trade a horse, preferably a quarter horse mare. I will also take goats, sheep, and pigs, but not potbelly. Please.
Okay, my guess is this person stole the watch and was looking for dinner is what I get out of this.
Why don't you sell the watch and then use that money? Like, it just there's something shady about this.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's a stolen Rolex $1,200 watch. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Let's see here. You want me to do the next one? Sharon sent this one in. Unwanted or cheap goats, female turkey or chickens. I am looking to get my father some animals for Christmas.
Oh, Lord, I will
take any unwanted, really cheap goats, turkeys, or chickens. What do you think is going to happen with them? I'm predicting dinner is what I'm predicting.
Hey, Daddy, I got you an
there
old
you go.
Turkey.
Here's dinner. You know, you have to pluck it, but You can you have to pluck it yourself, but it's okay. Just
that
boiling a while.
That's awful.
You want a fat, healthy goat. You want the cheap goat.
See, I wanted to take that one because I didn't want the vegan to have to read that ad.
Dear God. And the final one of the first really bad ads of 2014, all of these ads have qualified, 2015, whatever.
Yeah.
All of these ads have qualified, I'm a little behind, for the Flex and Fork, or Shake and Fork at the end of the year and Flex and Fork at the end of the month, is Jessica sent in Pony, $75 in Niota. Is that probably Florida?
Japan.
Japan. Pony for sale. I don't think they have ponies for sale in Japan. They eat them. Pony for sale. Good-looking gilding. Pony that needs attention. He hasn't been ridden in a while and has become hard to catch. I will throw in a pony saddle for free. And if you buy the saddle for $75, I'll throw in the pony for free. However, the pony has become so fat that the saddle no longer fits. So you can buy a pony for $75 and you get a saddle for free, or you buy a saddle for $75 and you get the pony for free, but the saddle doesn't fit the pony, so you have to get another pony and another saddle. That is hilarious.
And this is how it starts. Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
How's it going? Pony gets a saddle.
Who are we going to give the really big box of crap to? You got a favorite in there?
I kind of like the Blind Perfect Horse.
Yes, I do too. It kind of led the way, didn't it? It kind of led the way in 2015. So that's Alexis Well.
Totally perfect.
Gets a box of crap right from my closet. Not from Jamie's closet, because that's a different kind of crap. But no, they get the box of crap from my closet, which is actually some pretty good stuff usually, although I don't know what I have
good
left.
Good ads,
so,
good ads. Good ads.
Yeah, they were a good batch. Thank you, everybody, for sending those in. And, of course, everybody is eligible for the EquityMFG.com monthly drawing for a Flex and Fork that will happen at the end of the month. Everybody will be eligible for that. So get your ads in. If you didn't send any in this week, send them in next week. Jennifer's keeping a list. Even if your ad doesn't make it to the show, we will put you in the drawing. So feel free. We want to get as many people as we can submitting those ads. And thank you to EquityMFG.com for their support of really bad ads. That's it,
Jennifer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a reminder to Glenn, go take the ad down for the Beast. It's still up on Craigslist, Ferocious Attack Kitten.
Oh, our poor kitty. I can believe it, though, because he's been a pain in the ass the last couple of days, and Jennifer's been threatening to throw him outside to the hawks. So I couldn't believe she posted that ad. I would believe that.
For the love of God, please take this thing out of my house.
All right. Now, let's give you your homework assignment. You are to remember or record what you eat tomorrow, and then we're going to review that on Monday, right, at the all-vegan festival in Arizona, right?
Glenn, I'll take pictures of food, okay? I will take pictures of food, and I will review it. And you have to be honest and say whether something sounds good or not. You cannot. I did have soy yogurt again this morning, so and a vegan muffin, by the way. Delicious.
What do they put in that?
I don't know. I give up. I didn't have to cook it, so I'm fine with it. But you have to be honest, though. You have to tell me if something actually sounds good. But I'll take pictures. Vegan Food Fest tomorrow. I'm starving. I can't wait.
Isn't a Vegan Food Fest pretty much just 8,500 ways to make tofu?
Probably. And we're going to have tofu again. Okay. Yes. It's my nice tofu. I'm going to,
tofu, baked tofu. Fried tofu. Is it like festivals where you get fried food, too? That's just like they coat it and then they fry it with tofu?
It's going to be like Forrest Gump, you know, when he's like shrimp kebabs, shrimp, fried shrimp, popcorn shrimp.
Okay, you better go to this. I really am anxious to hear how many people show up, too.
My tickets. And there's been like over 2,000 tickets sold. It's going to be huge. It's Vegan Unite.
I got to ask a big favor, too. Could you take a picture of some of the people that are going to be there? I imagine people watching is going to be interesting at the vegan festival.
It's the people of Walmart. And, dear God, I better not wear a piece of leather. I'll have to find some new shoes or something.
Don't wear my paddock boots. Don't wear your paddock
boots. They have socks. They'll put you in the socks. They have socks there for people who show up in shoes that are leather.
It's going to be beautiful and wonderful. Shut up. And I did convince one friend. I invited 20 people to go with me. One person said yes, and I had to buy her ticket.
And lunch.
And some Tums.
And on that, spay, neuter, geld, everybody have a great weekend.